Let's keep talking about the All-Star Game with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at Andy B. Larson. You can read him at KSL.com. It is Andy Larson. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Andy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All-Star Game coming up this weekend. When are we going to see more of Gordon Hayward? Is it going to be the skills challenge? Is he going to be able to get past, who is it, John Wall is his first-round matchup? Or are we going to see more of him in the actual All-Star Game, understanding that he's coming off the bench?
Yeah, I don't think he gets past John Wall. I mean, John Wall's probably the fastest player in the league, and Gordon Hayward's, you know, he's not slow, I guess, but he's 6'8", and kind of is a mismatch for the skills challenge event, at least in my mind, against the fastest point guards in the league. So, I think Gordon Hayward loses in the first round tonight, and I think he probably gets at least a few minutes Sunday, once in the actual game itself.
Personally excited do you get a sense that Gordon Hayward is? I mean, this is his first All-Star experience as a true member of the team. What sort of an excitement level do you feel like he's actually got right now?
Yeah, I think he's excited. You know, he brought Robin down there, his wife, to New Orleans, and so I think, you know, it's a big moment for him. This is something that he's worked hard to achieve, and doesn't I don't think he doesn't take it for granted. You know, obviously it's kind of a cool opportunity to be among those guys. He's talked about how he wants to use it to build his brand in some sense. You know, work with media people down there. He released the emoji today along with the other All-Stars. So, you know, things like that that kind of increase his profile and have him known as one of the stars of the NBA, I think is a big deal.
Andy Larson's our guest, 1320 KFan. What are some storylines in the All-Star game? I hadn't even thought about it. You're getting Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant back on the same team. This might be the first time we see two teammates competing with each other to get the MVP award and not, you know, going head-to-head with an Eastern Conference guy and a Western Conference guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think that is the biggest storyline there. It's a little bit of a shame that the fans didn't vote Westbrook as an All-Star starter, so in order for them to get minutes, Steve Kerr has to play them together, and we'll see whether or not that actually happens. But yeah, I think that's a fun one. I think obviously the kind of the four Warriors on the team compared to one San Antonio guy, Kawhi Leonard didn't think that was fair, and I think it's interesting kind of how that plays out. And then you kind of look at just how the All-Star game played out last year with the Western Conference getting, I think it was 196 points. Can they get over 200 this year? I mean, that would be pretty incredible. I think there's some things to watch for. You know, it's an exhibition game, and there's not obviously going to be a lot of defense played, but I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out.
How are the guys who aren't going to be on the All-Star team, how are the rest of the Jazz players going to actually get some rest this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, so Dante Exum, Trey Lyles are playing in tonight's rookie sophomore game, so you've got them, and then Joel Ballenboy is playing in the D-League All-Star game, so they're all in New Orleans, but for the rest of the Jazz, they're just quite frankly just on vacation. You know, you just following along with Howell Meadows' Snapchat. He's in Cancun right now. You know, Joe Ingles is on some beachfront property somewhere, you know. So I think this is a time for guys to get out of Utah and kind of relax a little bit on the beach and just have kind of a week to themselves where they're not worrying about basketball, where they can kind of mentally recuperate. And it seems like, at least so far, they're taking that time and using it wisely.
Andy, I'm trying to think back on Gordon Hayward's career of his best dunks. And, you know, he's caught a couple of guys. He's got some posters in his life. But he's not a 360 dunker. He's not a between-the-legs guy. So how does he show off in this wide-open All-Star game? Is it about stepping 2 or 3 feet behind the three-point line and trying to show off his range? Or is he just going to be constrained to the style that the Jazz ask him to play, which is, you know, pull up 15-footers in transition, which is the right play, but it's not always sexy?
Yeah, like I think he'll, you know, I think he'll probably like have a dunk, I guess, but no one's going to get in his way. I mean, that's kind of what's always been the best part about Gordon Hayward's dunks is that it's kind of over someone, whether that be Alex Len or heck, even was there a dunk over Deron Williams, or am I remembering a block of his, or, you know,
right,
something like that. It's always involved somebody else, and the All-Star game doesn't really give you a venue to do that, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, I think we'll see, you know, obviously the jump shot, if someone's going to kick it out to him for a three, but he's not going to have a whole lot of the rock in his hands. And like I say, he's only really going to play a few minutes anyway. The odds are pretty even whether we get a highlight play of any kind for Gordon Hayward, let alone like a 360 dunk or a 3 foot three.
What's the most likely scenario to play out through the trade deadline, in your opinion, from the Jazz's perspective?
I think there's a lot going on. I mean, first of all, you've got to remember that there are $13 million in cap space that they have. that if they don't use, they just have, you know, kind of it's a missed opportunity, something that they let go to waste. And they're actually below the salary floor as well. So, again, money that they could just use to get some sort of asset that you might as well take advantage of by Thursday. So I think there's stuff there. I wrote an article on KSL.com today about Derek Favors and how his impact this season has been really limited, not only due to injuries, but his declining role in the offense. I think there's a real possibility that the Jazz acquire a different look at the power forward position. I look at the possibility of Danilo Gallinari. It was mentioned in those Serge Ibaka trade rumors. There are a couple other power forward names out there that, you know, the Jazz might look at acquiring. And then, of course, there's kind of the point guard question as well. Obviously, the Jazz have four point guards on the roster, five if you count Alec Burks, but none of them have really met the needs of Quinn Snyder's team beyond George Hill. So, you know, do the Jazz acquire an upgrade there, or can they give one of those point guards away to somebody for something? You know, Cleveland was apparently interested in Shelvin Mack. You get a second-round pick for him. I don't know if these are, like, huge world-changing deals. Power forward one probably would be the most impactful, but I do think that there's a real possibility that Dennis Lindsay isn't really all that happy with how the Jazz have played over the last month, and I think he wants them to improve over the last 2 months of the season and moving into the playoff race.
Andy Larson's our guest, 1320K fan. I thought Dante's last 7 or 8 games going into the break were really good for him, and obviously maybe we saw the best game of him this season and the Jazz win over Portland. Trey Lyles, on the other hand, has just been falling further and further out of the rotation. Could a game like tonight, being in an all-star game where they open it up, he's allowed to shoot 9 times like he does for the Jazz, but it doesn't matter whether he makes them or misses them in this game, could that be a confidence booster for him? I mean, is he the type of guy that you think needs a little bit of momentum to build on?
I mean, maybe, you know, Trey is such a weird, it's hard to tell, you know. I think his Twitter has been really cryptic recently, yeah. For example, and he doesn't like opening up about anything with us reporters anyway. So I don't really have a handle on what kind of person is Trey Lyles is in terms of kind of dealing with that adversity. You know, I don't think it can hurt, but again, it's an exhibition game even more so than the actual All-Star game itself is, you know. It's not that great of players playing no defense, and yeah, he's going to get some shots, and he'll probably make like 2 or 3 out of 9, and that's kind of what we've been seeing from Trey Lyles recently. I mean, basically his jump shot is off right now, and when that's happening, it's hard for him to contribute as a player. I mean, maybe he can get it going with more shot opportunities, but it's, you know, it's not like he hasn't been practicing either, and he hasn't been shooting well in practice either. So I don't know that this is going to be the turning point in his season or his career or anything like that. I think it's fair to expect kind of the same Trey Lyles before and after the break.
You can find him on Twitter at Andy B. Larson. Read him at KSL.com. Andy, great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Kyle.